KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Marine One landing in a private walled garden near Windsor Castle, where President Trump and the First Lady have just been welcomed by King Charles and top members of the royal family. A horse and carriage procession delivering the group to the castle now. Former CDC Director Susan Menarez will testify on Capitol Hill today. CBS's Nicole Killian.
She will tell the Senate Help Committee that she believes she was fired because she did not pre-approve the recommendations from a newly reconstituted vaccine advisory panel and fire career scientist at the agency.
The suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk's been hit with seven charges, most serious aggravated murder. Prosecutor Chad Grenander.
Just for the court's information, we did file just recently, within the last few minutes, a notice of intent to seek the death penalty that was filed by Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Average gas prices fell 8 cents per gallon over the last week, Melissa Kay reports.
The average price in the state on Monday, being $2.88, means prices are 3.9 cents higher than a month ago. However, this is still 8.5 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. More states saw decreases than increases last week, and there's good news on the horizon. The transition to cheaper winter gasoline begins on Tuesday across most of the country. Officials at Gas Buddy expect average gas prices to continue to decline in the weeks ahead, as long as hurricane season remains quiet.
Governor Tony Evers on Monday signed an executive order directing state officials overseeing health and insurance policies to protect vaccine access. The order comes after the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services issued new restrictions last month on who can get a COVID-19 shot. The order requires the state's chief medical officers to issue their own orders and guidance on the COVID-19 vaccine. It also directs all insurers regulated by the state to provide coverage for the vaccine without cost sharing with customers. According to a report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin joins 14 other states, including Minnesota and Illinois, in creating vaccine protocols that do not defer to federal health guidelines. In a statement, Evers called the new restrictions on vaccines reckless and dangerous, saying U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Trump administration are, quote, putting the health and lives of kids, families, and folks across our state at risk. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News. You can find more news anytime at WXCO.fm.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball. The Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a two-run homer in the fourth. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
We have a chance at an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms will drop to around 60 for a low. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and a little cooler with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA+ rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the general that helped save New Orleans, General Russell Honoré. He's a decorated 37-year Army veteran. We'll talk to him about the impacts the Trump regime has had on our armed services.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this September 17th, Wednesday morning, September 17. Keep that number 17 in mind as we talk to our next guest, Corrine Hendrickson, about the 17th State Senate District. Details to come right after Brittany's weather. And then in our next hour at 8:35, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who announced this morning that she, too, will be running for Wisconsin governor next year. So we have a gubernatorial candidate coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And that's not all. There's also tomorrow we'll be talking with former Racine Alderman Trevor Young, who has just announced his candidacy for the state Senate in the 21st district, the seat held since 2010, I believe, by Republican Van Wongard. So a lot to cover this week with the change of seasons, not just, you know, back to school, not just fall campaign season as well. But let's get to the fall part of the season with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us, along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down at Madison Studio A2. And I did not realize, because it's dark at the start of the show here, so the show is well underway for me to notice it is really foggy up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Is that something we're seeing all over the place?
Yeah, definitely up north right now, dense fog from Eau Claire through Hayward into Ashland and Superior. That's going to be here for about another hour or two. Temperatures, too, right now in the mid-50s to mid-60s across the state. We're also seeing a few thunderstorms starting right now, pretty much from Amory through Rice Lake, and that could extend towards the Minocqua area, too. We have a front just sitting here over the northern part of the state this morning. So that's kind of the case as we go through the next day. This front is going to slowly make its way south through the state, and then the system, the low pressure itself, will eventually move into the state for the weekend. So yes, wet weather ahead and cooler temperatures too, but not today. We're still looking very warm across the state, low to mid 80s everywhere. Some of us will be nearing 90 once again. It will be a sunny day, especially south into Madison and Milwaukee. Clouds will be increasing though west and north throughout the afternoon. Drizzle is possible far southwest midday. And then we're looking at more small storms sparking up again this evening, especially northeast in our state. And then tomorrow, cooler, slightly cooler, especially north, only mid-60s up north. 80s will still be felt down south tomorrow. Scattered spotty showers are expected kind of statewide, very isolated, very brief and small. But chances for sunshine still hang on into Madison and Milwaukee until the weekend. That's when that low pressure system arrives. So heavier rain and storms on the way.
Conceivably, today and tomorrow could mark the last of the mid-80s.
It could.
It could. Unless we get a nice little warm spell in October, which does happen, by the way.
It does. Even in November, it's happened. So.
Yes. Okay. So shut up, Pat. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. It felt a lot like mid-July rather than mid-September. Yesterday was busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. To me, this is the first that has been actually dry. A lot of dry grass that's drying out for the first time since spring. Today, he's got a mowing job in rural Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And he writes, no fog in the Tigerton area. Tony writes that these 80-degree days have been killing me. It's so hot, and I refuse to turn on my air conditioner. You live on Lake Superior. You have the world's greatest air conditioner up there, Tony. Tony also adds, it was so foggy, I could barely see the turkeys crossing the road. Unacceptable. You got to be able to see the turkeys when they're heading across.
And the deer up there.
Yes, exactly. And so that's from Tony, and that's from Rob, and we'll have more from Brittany coming up in 1 hour. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also a note up here from our friends at Motherhood for Good, who are saying good morning. I sense they maybe want to hear more from one of our next guests coming up. This is a candidate announcement kind of day, candidate announcement kind of week. You had State Senator Kelda Royce getting into the race for governor a couple days ago. I just mentioned State Representative Francesca Hong also joining the governor's race. There are state Senate candidates, one I just told you about in the Racine area, and now one potentially in the Nuclearis area, as we welcome in Corrine Hendrickson to tell us what she's going to be up to later today, former child care provider in the Nuclearis area. Corrine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's still really weird to hear former in front of that.
I completely, it's weird for me to say it, and it's not something we necessarily like to dwell on, but the thing that's prompting, you know, your change in what you do on a day-to-day basis is rooted in a Wisconsin legislative leadership team that did not ever seem to take everything that you said seriously about just how serious childcare and other issues are for Wisconsin families. And so consequently, what's that meant for you? What is it that you plan to be doing throughout the day today?
So it means that I guess I have to do it myself.
There you go.
So I am officially running for State Senate District 17. That is the southwestern part of Wisconsin, which we have some really good progressive Democratic roots, and we just need to get back to them. And a lot of it comes down to the lack of affordability in our daily lives, whether it's groceries, childcare, our property taxes continuing to increase because our state refuses to invest in our public schools appropriately and instead is cutting taxes for the wealthy and to keep the powerful in power. So at 10:30 this morning, I will be launching at the Nuclearis Village Park. Super excited because in Nuclearis, it's a tradition to have elk horns, and there will be elk horns there as well. So I'm hoping that lots of people will join me and support me in my newest adventure.
Those are those big Swiss horns, like everybody's going to get a Ricola lozenge or something at this point.
Hey, maybe that should be my thing.
There you go. Instead of tossing candy at parades, you're tossing cough drops. It could be whatever works for you. Now let's take care of the elephant in the room, or shall we say the donkey, because we're going to be talking about primaries, and that 2026 is probably going to be a year unlike any other in terms of primaries. You've got an open governor's seat, an open lieutenant governor's seat, an open secretary of state seat, and you've already got three Democratic candidates announced in the third congressional district, and now you have in these state senate districts at least three different state senate districts. Now there will be primaries as well, and that includes in your district, where Representative Jenna Jacobson has also already announced. In this case, let's just bring it down to this particular example in the 17th Senate District, there is a motivator for multiple Democrats to want to run, and that's because the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, chairs the Joint Finance Committee. So, I mean, all the more motivation for Democrats to jump in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also find it interesting that so far, Senate 17 is all women. Lisa White is also running. And the CD3, which is Van Orden's, is all women too. So I feel like there's a little bit of, women wanting to make sure that we can take care of our families and our communities and stepping up into this space. I think it's good there's a primary. I think we can, learn from each other. I think the voters have a right to choose because, we fought for gerrymandering. So that's part of why there's so many also interested. This seat is now winnable because the lack of gerrymandering. In our state, we have fair maps. But at the same time, have a robust primary because that's the way for the people to decide who they want on their their party ticket, I guess you would say. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to know people and proving, you know, that I'm the hardest worker and I'm the best for the position.
The comments are already coming in, including from Tony, that says it seems like a great opportunity for new faces and for new ideas as well. And now, again, I'm not looking to make Senator Howard Markline, you know, the issue is certainly not the centerpiece of your campaign, but the symbolism of a co-chair for joint finance in budgets that cycle after cycle after cycle seem to be out of sync with what he and others are hearing at all those budget public hearings around the state. Again, seems to be rather representative of why anybody is running for legislature around Wisconsin this year.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the Joint Finance Committee hearings, when you look at the Assembly and Senate hearings in office at the Capitol, they're being told over and over and over again, this is what we want, this is what we need. And then it's they refuse to do it. 2 years ago, when they did the special session for the workforce, you know, they had 200 people send letters, 100 people show up and speak to the fact that they wanted this special session bill to pass. And after the hearing, they put an amendment in and completely gutted the whole thing. And so really, we need people that are not just going to say they're listening and that they understand there's a problem, but that they care enough to do something about it and are willing to go outside of their box that they put themselves into of their opinions of what's important to, it feels like almost it's what's important to them themselves instead of listening to what their constituents have to say.
Well, I think it's pretty clear talking to Corrine Hendrickson, state Senate candidate in the 17th district, what you're going to be hearing from Republicans and others, because, I mean, we've been hearing this for 15 years or more, and it's going to go something like this. Well, there she goes again. Here's another tax and spend liberal, and she and Tony Evers and everybody else, they just want to tax and they want to spend. And, you know, we're the ones that are holding the line on taxes. We're the ones that are holding the line on spending and being more fiscally responsible. You know, that's what you're going to hear over and over again. So now that I've teed that up, what are you going to tell the voters?
So it's more of an investment. It's more how do we spend the money that we take in for taxes. Currently, our state budgets have been to the point where they encourage the people who have the wealthy and the most money to keep as much money as possible, to hoard that money. And meanwhile, the rest of us are working as hard as we can. And we're not seeing that money. We were promised with some of these tax credits that job growth would happen, job creation would happen. We don't need to raise the minimum wage because the employers will do it automatically for us. And that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is that those tax cuts have actually starved our public schools from the resources that they need. And I'm really worried, and people in my area are really worried about this next year with all the referendums that are likely to come, or, you know, if they don't pass or schools really, you know, don't want to continue to increase property taxes, what are they going to cut? The first thing is music and art and, you know, sports and all and musicals and all the things that enrich our children's lives and, you know, make them want to go to school as well and just make them more well-rounded individuals and then allow our communities to have things that we come together over. The musical sells out every year here. I have Elkhorns coming today. If we don't have a music program, there won't be kids who can play those instruments. We won't have the fundraisers at, you know, the festivals because there will be no music at those because our state is refusing to invest in cutting it. Same thing. We are have a dire workforce shortage, but we have a huge number of parents of young children who want to work, but they can't because they cannot afford and access childcare. Those of us in the field, were in the field. Sorry, see, I can't do it. Those who are remaining in the field of childcare are struggling. Two more just announced their closing that have been open for over 20 years because they can't afford to keep going because they can't charge parents anymore. They're losing kids. I'm hearing now of kids at 5, 6, and 7 are going home. We're back to the latchkeys of the 1980s. And it's just not safe and it's scary and it does not have to be this way. So again, it isn't tax and spend. It's invest our money appropriately so that we recoup those loss, that we recoup that money and we grow our economy, we grow our communities, and we, you know, have our kids can come back to the small towns that they're vacating right now because there just isn't anything for them in there.
Yeah, and you've definitely made the link, not just for childcare to then K-12 education, but again, to small businesses. There are all kinds of employers that are practically begging the legislature to do something because they're losing too many good workers to this childcare crisis as well, and they want well-educated workers. So you're going to hear these themes and more from Corrine Hendrickson. Her website is corrineforseventeen.com. Corrine is C-O-R-R-I-N-E. CorrineFor17.com, and on all the social media sites, just put in CorrineFor17 as the handle, and you'll get her on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Corrine, thank you so much for taking time to make your announcement with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Have fun with the horns at the announcement, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Pleasure seeing you, and best of luck as you move forward. Again, there are going to be primaries in several races here, so really keep that August date in mind if you plan to vote Republican or Democrat and get to know the candidates in your local community. We'll have our homeroom segment coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan bill banning members of Congress from owning or trading individual stocks has been introduced in the U.S. House. It appears the reform could pass, due in no small part to a tax break sweetener just for members. For years, allegations have plagued members of Congress who allegedly traded stocks on the basis of inside information. The Brennan Center for Justice points to Senator Dianne Feinstein's February 2020 trades prior to pandemic-related market losses and Representative Rob Bresnahan's sale of hospital development bonds only a month after he voted to cut Medicaid and put those hospitals at risk of closure. September 3rd, Republican Representative Chip Roy introduced H.R. 5106, also called the Restore Trust in Congress Act, co-sponsored by Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 15 others. The bill allows current members 180 days to divest of individual stocks, but allows investing in mutual funds, index funds, municipal bonds, and treasury bonds. But one critic writes in Forbes that the reform comes with a sweetheart deal, allowing members to divest and defer capital gains taxes until after they leave Congress, a huge gift to multimillionaire members. Both House Speaker Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have signaled they will support the bill. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes. Again, Ian Welsh will be joining us in just a little bit. But today we are spending some time talking to the City of Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee members, Jean Abreu and Carol Lukens. And as we get into the fall months, it is time to save time. Reduce your workload by leaving your leaves. Yes, leave your leaves. And that's our topic here this morning with Carol and Jean. I noticed as well in some of the materials prepared the term pollinators again. It seems like that's been something that's been a constant thread in a lot of mm-hmm. these discussions. Could you explain again about the pollinators and the importance of them, especially now with what we're talking about here today?
So we so need pollinators. Again, when we shred the leaves, it destroys even pollinator eggs, caterpillars, chrysalises in the leaves. And pollinators, we depend upon those for our food source. And Chad, it's as you said earlier, when we lose one species, there's another species that depends upon that. Then that species was at risk of being lost, and on it goes. It's the web. So we need the pollinators more than they need us. We need them. And if we lose more, we've lost a lot. What we need to do is regain them. So we need to protect them as much as possible. And that leads to one other thing. Even if you have plants, in the fall, a lot of people like to tidy up their gardens and cut down their plants. Mm-hmm. But that's not good either, because a lot of these insects overwinter mm-hmm. in the plants. And so the best thing to do, if you would like, is break the sticks off, the dried sticks, maybe at leave them like knee level at least. Mm-hmm. Leave those. And the other, with the rest of it, again, don't get rid of it. Don't get rid of the leaves. Don't get rid of your plants. Actually, you could just scatter those in your garden. Mm-hmm. So they'll remain on your property and they're beneficial. And then you're also not getting rid of any insects that might be overwintering in them.
It sounds like, and again, there's so much I don't know about a lot of these issues, but it sounds as though a lot of these insects and other species that we want to keep within our midst for the future, it sounds like a blanket.
It does. And so, like, even if we have a snowfall, then there's still this airspace, and that airspace is warmer, like mm-hmm. you said. And so that's where a lot of the insects live. So if we remove the leaves, we're losing the structure of a covering.
When you do anything that's different than what people have done for years, mm-hmm. and one of the things people do for years is they rake up those leaves and they haul them away, and mm-hmm. they feel like, oh, we can't have all those leaves. It makes the place look a little messy. What do you tell the folks? I mean, because habits are hard to break, no matter what it may be. When you do have discussions about some of these issues and you see people that say, well, I've always done it this way, how do you try to get them to think, maybe open the minds a little bit? Because you can't tell people, hey, this is what you got to do, because that doesn't work. How do you have these discussions with people who have done things one way for so many years?
It's a slippery slope. Once you maybe have a few little pollinator plants and all of a sudden you have a few butterflies, it is this slippery slope, like, ooh, how can I encourage more? So for me, that's what it's been. I started out not knowing a lot, but I got interested, and that interest has grown. And now I'm doing your own research, and you start doing things to promote wildlife in your own yard. And that's, you know, our insects are part of our wildlife, mm-hmm. and they bring other animals, toads and birds, interesting spiders. Hmm. And so I would say if we can help a person to discover the wonder of introducing pollinator plants and starting to look at the insects, the rest kind of falls into place.
And Carol, what about you? Anything that you have found to be effective in these discussions?
Well, I think sometimes people can be intimidated mm-hmm. to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it wrong or whatever. And for me, I still remember being a young kid trimming the grass with the little clippers, and I cut a walking stick in half. Obviously, that impacted me in some way because I still remember that, mm-hmm. right? And now, like, I never see walking sticks. I used to use chemicals years ago. I mean, for me, it's been an education. The more I learn, I keep learning. And like Jean said, you start small. You start with one thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess in those conversations, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to do everything right. It's all about learning.
The process.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a constant learning process. And I mean, I think if there was any ask I could ask of people to start with, it would be, please stop using pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, like only use them whenever absolutely necessary. Please stop using those because the mosquito fogging of lawns, like, please stop using those because they kill so much else. So mm-hmm. it's one good place to start. But then we have resources through the Sustainability Committee. There are lots of resources. And again, I am not an expert. I've been learning as much as I can, little by little, mm-hmm. and by trial and error. So I think that's the thing. Yes, it can be hard to break those habits, but the more you start seeing, the insects and the butterflies in your yard and the flowers. And it actually, it takes much less work. You don't have to do that work. You can leave it. And then you see the flowers. That's why I love native perennials, because I don't have to plant plants, but I get to enjoy watching all the beauty. So I think that's one of the big things, is let go of the work and enjoy your time.
We will have a few more moments with Jean Abreu and Carol Lukens of the WASA Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee coming up at 7:52. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Commodity prices do not look like they are getting very bullish anytime soon. That means you need to have a strategy for the crop standing in the field. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is making some suggestions on what you can do to make sure the farm cash flows at least through the harvest. Those suggestions coming up.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Cash flowing the farm through the harvest season. That's one of the goals that John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is suggesting. And he said you may need to use multiple tools to do that.
This market's going to have a lot of potential volatility in it, especially because of, you know, at least where the corn demand is. So there's some things that we've been talking to producers about. Again, we want to keep things fixed. We want to minimize the risk in terms of margins and things of that nature. A call is a one-time cost. Pay for it. You got the position working, and just let it work. Whether you use somebody like myself or even talk to your elevator about it, those opportunities are out there that you can keep some ownership over this crop into the spring.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says have those conversations with your elevators or your crop advisor right away and try to capitalize on any ups that might develop. Not many ups this morning in Chicago. Right now, December corn is down a half, 429. November soybeans are down 6, 1044. The wheat for July of next year, down 2, 571. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese remained unchanged, 161 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese did gain a penny, 162 and three quarters. AA butter down another nickel, 177 a pound. And the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 6 right now, 1659 a hundredweight. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Wednesday trade session. More available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
We have a chance at an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms will drop to around 60 for a low. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and a little cooler with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, soybean crops are sitting in the fields. China not interested in buying. We're talking tariffs with James Vanderloo. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Boy, there's a lot going on today. 7:35. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning, September 17th. We just heard from Corrine Hendrickson announcing her candidacy for state Senate. 1 hour from now, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong all about her run for Wisconsin governor, joining a growing field there. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Trevor Young, who is a former Racine Alder who has just announced he's running for state Senate in the 21st District over in the Racine area. And if you can't catch all this live on the radio from 6 until 9, or social media, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, then you really ought to get this show by podcast so you can dip in and hear some of the highlights. So head over to Spotify. Sign up to follow the show, or Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and never miss a moment of what we do. You can also get connected to all this through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, welcome to our homeroom segment that we do every week at this time. Talk a bit about public education in Wisconsin and the things that impact it. A lot of those things come from the state capitol, and not just the state budget, which is all done now, but certainly all the other ways where lawmakers can introduce bills that are helpful or even harmful, as the case may be, depending on, you know, what people in the Assembly and Senate think of our public school system and what ought to be done with it. Somebody's got to track all these things. And for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, that would include our friend Bryn Horton, who joins us for a little update. Bryn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Nice to have you along.
Yeah.
There's always so much beyond the budget that could get done for our schools or to our schools, yes, as the case may be. So right now, the fall legislative session is just getting going. We never really know just how busy or not busy they'll be at any given point. So there are bills that are introduced. Some may get a committee hearing. Some may go to the floor of the Assembly or Senate. Some may just be introduced and not come up at all. But you have to note that they've been introduced because, you know, these are things that conceivably could happen. So as you're looking beyond the state budget at what the legislature could be considering this fall, what kinds of things are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we're keeping an eye on, which I feel like the fall is always a time of hurried introduction of bills because they haven't really done much since the budget passed. But both sides of the assembly introduced, well, they haven't been formally introduced yet, but gave press conferences on packages of education bills that they're planning to introduce to the legislature soon. I would imagine they're getting co-sponsored. And so it's interesting to see the play between both of those sets of packages.
Do you want to run through like the highlights of each package, the Republican package and the Democratic package?
Yeah, and this is fully going off of the press conference, sure. Press conferences that I've listened to, because I haven't seen the bill texts of them yet. But the Democratic side is introducing bills for healthy school meals for all, which has long been a topic that the Democratic Assembly members have tried to get through in the last couple of sessions. There is a bill about voucher transparency and having the impact of those dollars on tax bills. And then also there is a bill around budget and financing and the things that they're trying to do to balance out the lack of funding that came in the budget. And then the Republican side, my understanding is there's a bill around math curriculum and changes to math curriculum. I'm sensing that might have some of the same type of connotations that Act 20 did for reading. That's the guess that I'm going from that one. And then a parents' rights bill, which is also a bill that they've tried to get through a couple times in the past. And then also some bill around school discipline and teachers being able to do what they need to do to help with student behavior, since that seems to be a talking point across the nation of teachers not feeling like they have the ability to do what they need to do to control student behavior.
So those are just some of the things that you might see in the Democratic package of bills, in the Republican package of bills. Looking at some of the things that are on the Wisconsin Education Association Council website and things that they're following, you also see kind of the same, shall we say, division between the two parties, where one is looking to maybe enhance prep time for teachers, while another may be seeking to micromanage prep time for teachers. And as we mentioned with Peggy Wirtz-Olson from WEAC a couple of weeks back, I mean, some of these bills, again, they may not go anywhere, but just the introduction of them is noteworthy. For example, restricting the kinds of flags that can be displayed in public buildings like schools and in classrooms. There's always something about, cursive handwriting as well. And certainly, and then on a slightly broader level, state testing standards. And so I really kind of feel like there's this tug of war, if you will, between micromanaging, our educators and giving them the resources and flexibility to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's, I think, interesting in the cross specs of local control and the way that Wisconsin school districts have been created to give school districts and local school boards local control. And yet they're constantly being given ways that they need to do things, even though that might not be something that works well in their local school district. And so I think that's a constant look, at least, is how are we making sure that school boards are being able to have their local control rights that they were given by the state statutes.
We also have, we talked about this recently. It was kind of news to an old guy like me that cell phone bans, I guess I just thought they were there and they're not. And it's become a hot discussion topic again. And I'm sure that I think there's at least one bill dealing with cell phone bans, and there will probably be others that you'll have to track in the Capitol as well.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I believe that the cell phone bills tend to have bipartisan support. And what I've heard from that is that because there are a lot of school districts that have their own policies, and what I've heard is that their hope is to, in order to pass a bill like that, that school districts then have the ability to be able to say, oh, see, it's not us. It's the state telling us that we have to do this. So when there's pushback, that they have something to fall back on, which I guess is a nice way of them thinking that that's good that the state, that we can fall back on the state. But I do think there's still a need of that. There's a reason why we have that school districts have local control, because school districts are so very different from each other across the state.
Yeah. We're talking to Bryn Horton, and she follows for the Wisconsin Public Education Network the various bills that get introduced at the state capitol that could have an impact on our schools and on your kids' education. And again, from the Republican side, we see just such a focus on issues that involve such a small percentage of what goes on in society, much less our education. In this case, I'm referring to various gender restrictions on participation in sports and other activities. That's another bill I'm assuming Republicans will try to bring up and push, even though they know that Governor Evers would likely veto anything resembling that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I do believe that there is a lot of talk about the fact that the Senate might not possibly go into any more floor sessions the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And so even though, introductions happen and those bills will definitely get referred to committees and actually have public hearings, which doesn't happen for a lot of bills that could actually fix things or help things in the school districts. It's those dividing bills that get public hearings.
Right. They do. And I'm sure there will be something. There is a bill, of course, to require English only in schools. We talked about the flag display. There's another bill that would require, you know, the national motto, "In God We Trust," to be displayed in all courtrooms. Somebody just asked me yesterday, like, did that law really pass in Texas that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every classroom? I'm like, yeah,
yep.
That's, you know, that's a thing. And that which means it's going to encourage, you know, some legislator in Wisconsin to try to do the same thing. So you're right. We're going to hear a lot of what you would call what, social issues or wedge bills, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Those seem the ones that get the public hearings and get some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And there's never any funding attached to those. So, you know, we can display the motto in the schools, but it's going to cost the school districts money to have to do all of that stuff. And so that's the other part of it too that comes with, is we can give us all these things to do and then don't give any money to be able to accomplish those effects.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this with Jimmy Kaska a couple of weeks back when we talked about scoreboards and how I did not know that there still wasn't a shot clock for high school basketball, but mm-hmm. that's because every school would have to, not every school, but many schools would have to replace their scoreboard. They don't have the money to replace a scoreboard. So if they don't have money to replace a scoreboard, they sure don't have money to be putting up, you know, religious symbols and mottos and things like that in our schools as well. And all of this, Bryn, really comes back to, you know, a central theme of this segment, and that is providing our public schools with the resources they need. That includes the voucher transparency that we've mm-hmm. talked about here. And by the way, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, you know, just this week kicked off a public campaign to increase the transparency of the voucher program so that taxpayers know how much it really costs. So head over to wisconsinnetwork.org to learn more. But Bryn, you know, again, it really is what you're hearing from the Democratic side is, let's give schools the resources and the tools they need rather than more restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. Ways to be able to find more funding to be able to help close that funding gap that's going to be left with the budget. And the main one that I think that I'm really watching on the Republican side is that there is a bill to get rid of the $325 automatic revenue limit increase that the governor got passed into law through his partial line veto and then was upheld. But there is a bill out there to get rid of that now. And so that's the kind of thing that, you know, the punishment that comes along with being able to get that, now we need to take that away, even though that's not actually more funding from the state.
Yeah, that's just it. Because of the creative use of the line item veto, you now have this per pupil adjustment locked in for, you know, 300 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're not giving an increase in overall general state aid, you know, it really doesn't mean much. But of course, that's what Republicans are going after. They're going after the line item veto rather than putting a focus on what can we do for our schools? What can we do for our kids? And I guess I'm not confident that a bill that would get rid of the 300-year extension will be accompanied by, okay, we'll do an extension for a couple of years. No, they'll just get rid of it entirely.
Yeah.
We have seen how that goes. There's also bills out there for everything from requiring civics education to mm-hmm. tuition and fee remission for veterans and dependents, technical colleges leasing their facilities. There's just so many things that have to be followed in the Capitol, and Bryn Horton does that for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Bryn, thank you so much for doing all of that and for taking some time to give us a little update this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
As we mentioned, it is a day of campaign announcements. Corrine Hendrickson announcing her run for state Senate earlier this hour. And then less than an hour from now at 8:35, State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor, will join us to talk about why she has chosen to run for that office in 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use volunteerwisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, parts of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, joined by Ian Welsh. Hump Day Wednesday, September the 17th. And this morning, we're spending quite a bit of time talking to members of the City of Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee, talking about some of the issues that they are facing, and also just generally talking about this time of year. And one of the issues we've been talking about is to save time and reduce your workload by leaving your leaves and learning some interesting information. I did not know how many birds have disappeared around the globe in the last 50 years, nearly 3 billion birds. Again, just amazing how everything that we do within our environment does have consequences for now and also in the future. So a few more minutes with Gene Abreu and Carol Lukens, and started off by Carol adding one more aspect about the leaves here in the fall. If you have too many, there's always an answer to that as well.
One other thing I just wanted to add if possible, is if someone really has too many leaves that they can't even keep in the perimeter of their yards, mm-hmm. give them to your neighbors if they'll mm-hmm. accept them. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes in my neighborhood, people are raking their leaves to the street and I'm raking them back into my yard. So,
is there this popped into my mind again? I know such little about so many of these topics, but is there a proper way to have your leaves on your property? Is there a way, or does it really matter? Because is there a thickness of the leaves? I'm just maybe asking a question that may be silly, but no. Is it just the natural way is the best way, I guess?
Yeah, I try to spread them out. I have a pollinator garden in my front yard, so I try to spread them out to, you know, cover, just mm-hmm. kind of cover. But sure. I mean, I don't know that there really is, unless you don't, if you don't want too many in a spot, because depending upon what your yard is like, but not that I know of.
And I guess finally, you mentioned the importance of trying to avoid pesticides and herbicides and fungicides. For folks that, you know, they know no other way, mm-hmm. who do they talk to? Mm. Where do they get more information? How, say they know one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. How do they, and they may be interested in trying to do things differently. Who do they talk to find out more information?
There are some really good organizations out there. Xerces is one, X-E-R-X-E-S. I mean, X-E-C.
X-E-R-C-E-S.
C-E-S, I'm sorry. X-E-R-C-E-S, Xerces. And I will send you some links too, but Xerces.
But I saw you in your notes, and through the UW Extension.
Oh, yes. Oh. I'm sorry. UW Extension. Good idea. Yes. Mm-hmm. UW Extension. There are some organizations online. There is another one called Beyond Pesticides, Monarch Joint Venture. I mean, they will have links to others as well. But yes, UW Extension.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And again, you are going to be providing some links with some great information. We will add those to our show notes, as every day we do put up our WXEO Morning Report as a podcast. Just at WXEO.fm, you'll see it right on the right hand side near the top of the screen. Just click on today's podcast, which will be up just after 9 o'clock this morning, and then we will have a number of different links you can click on and learn more information as we get into the fall months. So I guess bottom line is, when those leaves fall, let it cover. Nice little blanket in your backyard.
Yes, leave your leaves. Yes, leave your leaves.
Any final thoughts, anything we missed here this morning, or else before we wrap it up?
Just don't mulch them, but leave your leaves and you know, keep learning. Just keep learning. That's all that mm-hmm. it's about. And thank you so much too for this opportunity, because it is so important for all of us.
And folks, check out those links again in our show notes as part of the podcast. Carol Lukens, Jean Abreu, thank you both for being with us, and I'm sure we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, again, if you're somebody that wants, I guess one final thing is, if you're somebody that cares about this, you're always looking for folks to volunteer for this committee, correct? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. the City of Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee, go to the City of Wausau website and you can basically apply there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. And attend any of our meetings, we would welcome mm-hmm. it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So again, Carol Lukens and Jean Abreu from the City of Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee. And another example, and I think we talk so often about in this era, the importance of democracy and the importance of being involved. And these are two women who are involved in, as we kind of finished up with, you can be involved as well. It can be on this committee. It can be on other committees. We just saw recently the former mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, signing up through the website. Went to the City of Wausau website and said, I was interested in being a member of the Police and Fire Commission. And Mayor Doug Denny appointed her to the position. And it doesn't have to be somebody like the former mayor. It could be somebody that just cares about the community. And it could be the community of Wausau. It could be the community of Rothschild, Schofield, Weston, Cronin-Wetter, throughout central Wisconsin. Be involved. That's the only way during these, I think, troublesome times that democracy can be saved. Coming up in our next segment, our next local segment, it will be our final segment of the day. And it will be an opportunity to hear from Ian Welsh. And Ian will be playing the number for the day quiz again. Yep, he is 1 for 2 so far this week. And we will have Ian join us and do that coming up as well. I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A royal welcome for President Trump and the First Lady in Windsor as they begin an unprecedented second state visit to the UK. They were greeted by the King and top royalty. And driven in a procession of horse-drawn carriages to the castle. Air traffic controllers warned Spirit pilots away when their passenger plane came within 8 miles of Air Force One over New York as it flew the President and First Lady to the UK.
Spirit 1300, traffic's off your left wing by 8 miles, 747. I'm sure you can see who it is.
Utah prosecutors present what they say is damning evidence after charging Charlie Kirk's alleged killer with aggravated murder. CBS's Katrina Kaufman. From Provo, Utah.
Text messages between him and his roommate, who was also a romantic partner. You know, he seemed to really confess to this crime in these messages.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.